you want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, go, geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 313 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on August 14th, 2013. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4.
You can join our live chat room and video stream to watch us as we record this episode and every episode. You can participate live with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. We have a voicemail line, and that number is 630-31-VOICE. You can find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is proudly sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your geocaching needs. Welcome back, Daryl. It's just me and you tonight. We don't have Head Hard Hat. So how have you been? I know that you've hit lots of caches since the last time we talked.
Yeah, I've been busy. Not only have I kept up with my August 31 of 31 streak, still, what, 17 days to go. But I was up at the West Bend Cache Bash on Saturday, met up with several of the cachers and listeners, had a blast meeting with them, and actually got to finally connect with the guys from the Chicago Geocacher podcast, one of the few U.S. podcast geocaching crews that I've not had a chance to meet up with. I finally met up with him, had a blast, and even did a power trail with him. I think it was actually, you know, we did 100 caches on the power trail plus one extra that was alongside in just about 2 hours.
Very cool. That's an amazing, amazing feat you got going.
It is. Those guys are some serious cachers for the power trail stuff, and they know what they're doing.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, I had a wedding to go to this Saturday, and so I figured what's better to do on my way to the wedding than geocache. And so luckily the wedding was close to the Indiana-Ohio border. So what did I do? I drove over to Ohio, got a cache in Ohio, already had one in Indiana for the day. And then the reception was in Michigan, just over the border in Michigan. And so I got a cache in Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio all in the one Saturday. So that was cool. That breaks my streak of two states in a day. And so I'm flying on cloud nine that I have, you know, three states in a day now. So even though it was only three caches, it was three states in a day.
Should I tell you that I did four states on Sunday on my way home?
No, don't tell me that.
I didn't tell you that then.
Not. So anyways, that's kind of what was going on with me. I was able to get a few of the, I haven't been able to keep up the 31 of 31, but I have got a few of them. I think I have a total of three of them now, two or three of them now. So I have some.
Hey, that breaks your usual for a month, doesn't it?
Hey, now. Yes, yes, it does. Yeah. So, anyways, we have received some feedback since the last episode. So, let's go ahead and hear that.
Listener feedback.
Paul from Google Plus posted, agree with burnout. I've not been out much this year, and the souvenir thing caught my interest enough to try to get them all. I avoided the caches in my area for various reasons, and this streak thing is making me clean up my area once again.
I think, and this is kind of going back to our last episode about getting out there and doing the streaks and things like that, and kind of having some burnout. And so I agree too. It's kind of been making me want to get out a whole lot more because I know that there's icons that I can collect. So thanks, Paul, for that feedback.
Well, and there's also the factor in there too that you have the support of the rest of the community who's also trying to get out there and do the same thing that you are.
Right. And I think that helps definitely because, you know, people out there, it's kind of bolstering the spirit of geocaching again. So I think that's great. For those of us who have been in it a long time, it's kind of a refresher to get out there some more.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the posts on the social media outlets and blog posts and vlogs, you know, there's so much activity around it that I think it really has worked out well. And we haven't seen the actual numbers out of Groundspeak because I don't think that they've really compiled that yet. We had, I want to say the first day numbers come out, but that's it. So, you know, we'll have to see what it actually comes out due to how many people actually participated, and better yet, how many people actually were able to complete it successfully.
Yes.
Hey, cashers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cash Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. Well, we recently asked, are you going to the block party at Groundspeak headquarters in Seattle this year? Well, after tallying the answers, it looks like about 1 in 5, or 21%, are planning to attend this year. Many did say that they are planning to make it next year. Well, we are attending, and we're vending again this year. We haven't missed one yet. So if you're able to attend, be sure to stop by our booth and say hi. This year, we're on the lower street level, like it was the very first year, and we are about the middle of that section. Well, we'll look forward to see you this Saturday or next year. Well, hey, we really enjoyed learning about the block party, and you can too if you follow us, Cash Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+ for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Now, tonight for our main topic, we're going to be talking about the second International Earth Cache event. And to kick this off, we have Dick on the phone with us. And Dick, you are one of the reviewers for Earth Cache, correct?
Yes, done that for a while now.
Very cool. Well, we want to remind everybody too, before we get this topic going tonight, that if you want to put anything in for this episode, give us a call on our feedback line, our live feedback line, and that number is 630-31-VOICE. That'll get you on the show here tonight if you've got any questions about our topic. So this event is different from many other events, and this is the second time that this has happened, but this is not just any old event, but an Earth Cache event. So I guess let's start out talking a little bit about Earth Caches in case there's anybody in our audience who doesn't know what an Earth Cache is. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown of what an Earth Cache is and what makes that different from a regular cache?
Well, there's a few things that make it a little different. It's similar in one way to the old virtuals in that there's no container at the cache site. So the people go to the site and have to perform a set of logging tasks in order to log the caches. So, you know, on Earth Cache, you'll go to the site and typically there will be some educational material where somebody will be teaching something about the geology of the site. And then, you know, you can perform, some people have experiments or, you know, visual site, you know, look at a particular outcropping of stone and describe it, or you know, a mountain or a river, and then, you know, describe it to the person, perform the tasks to be able to log it. So in some ways it's like a virtual, but there has to be an educational aspect to it in order to do it, and the logging tasks have to relate to what you've learned at the education, on the educational.
And Earth Caches have had a really almost cult following in geocaching, and they're a lot of fun. You do pick up a lot of information. So last year, there was the first of the Earth Cache mega events, and these are mega events, out in Maine, and you attended that one. And this year, you're working on the one that's going to be held in Utah, and it's GC3JG9V, and you have an event website for that one as well.
Yeah, it's located in southern Utah. It's actually, you know, really close to Vegas. We're just across the border. So I know there's a number of people from Southern California and other people who are flying into Vegas and then driving up to it. But, yeah, they GeoAware, who kind of started the whole, you know, the earth caching with the Geological Society of America and geocaching.com, he put together last year an event in Maine, and they're a little different in that they're not the typical, you know, we're not going and having a big contest to find caches. It's not just a big sit down in a big room, but, you know, sit down at a fairgrounds, but there's a lot of workshops that go on, which, you know, can talk about what you would like to do in, you know, what, you know, how to do an earth cache, what some of the guidelines are for it, or you know, how do you find your material and develop an Earth cache? I know we've got a few others on, you know, how to do HTML, which some people asked for last year. It's just a simple course on basic HTML that might help them on cache pages. So an overall educational, you know, we come to workshops and sit down and enjoy learning something, even at the mega event.
Very cool. You know, I think that that's something that's helpful for cachers, because I know a lot of people find Earth caches, and I really enjoy finding them, because like Daryl said, you know, it's one of those things that you gain information from, not just, you know, take you to a cool place, but takes you to a cool place and makes you learn something. And that's one of the things that I really liked about virtual caches when virtual caches were around, because you know, that was a lot, most of the time, at least in the olden days, those caches took you to a place and they were interesting and you learned something usually from them. And that's what Earth caches are about, because you get to learn something about the Earth. And so I really enjoy those. So it sounds like this event is going to be really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of the rundown of what the event consists of? Let's talk, you know, Friday night, and it's obviously some people are going to be coming out Friday night. So can you tell us if there's anything happening on Friday?
Yeah, we haven't published that yet. They're actually touching bases with the city, because we need a permit to get that many people together in one location. So finding a park or someplace where people can come and just pre-register, get their stuff, and it takes the load off the next day and kind of visit there at a location. We have a spot we'd like to use, but you know, the city still has to give its okay on it. And then the following day on Saturday, you know, we have a big get. You can almost think of it as a conference where, you know, they have an opening get together. And last year, GeoAware spoke for a few minutes, and Jeremy from Groundspeak spoke for a few minutes. And then we broke up into a series of classes for a few hours, and we had some games and stuff for kids, so that the, you know, parents who had kids could leave them someplace to play games or do a few things while they're in, you know, learning from someone how to do an Earth cache. So, oh, and then I should say at the end of the day, the one thing that I thought was really cool last year that we're doing again this year is we've actually got a banquet, and this is actually held in a convention center.
That sounds cool. Yeah, it's not like any other event I've been to.
Yeah, it's not at a fairgrounds or, you know, I actually went to GeoAware and said, well, you know, there's a fairgrounds nearby over here. And he's like, no, we want to be something a little different, a little nicer. And so we found a convention center to hold it at. And then, you know, we're going to get a whole bunch of cachers, Earth cachers, together to sit down and eat a buffet in a really nice kind of catered setting. You know, I can imagine a bunch of, you know, cloth napkins and a bunch of dirty geocachers.
You know, Xpunk asks, this is sounding a little bit like the CacherCon concept, but at like the next level with that dinner.
It is. Next time we do CacherCon, we'll have to do a dinner.
Yeah, the problem is finding the sponsorship for that.
Right. So, you know, they're obviously, you know, you'd mentioned that most people aren't going to be going out, and it, you know, this is more of an internal type of thing. You go there, you have sessions and workshops and type of breakout type things. But are there Earth caches around the area for people who want to get out and do some Earth caching? Because obviously we're cachers. We're going to want to do caches, and being at an Earth cache event, it sounds like a perfect place to get out and do some Earth caches. Are there Earth caches around the area?
Yeah, actually, there's a whole bunch of Earth caches around the area. You're located about 30 to 35 minutes away from Zion National Park, and there's four or five, six or so that are located in the park itself. I know if you're driving from St. George to the park, there's another half dozen. You know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I believe there might be 20 to 30 Earth caches within a short drive.
That's cool. I know that I've only got a handful of Earth caches myself that I found, and those are things that I do love doing. I just don't get a chance. There's not a whole lot of them around my area. So it sounds like a great time to be able to get out and do some of those.
Yeah. In fact, I just pulled up. There's 35 within about an hour.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a state park that has four to six located in the state park that's probably 15 minutes away. Snow Canyon State Park, and that's an old volcano, you know, old dormant volcano site, and there's a number of them there. Then there's a number of them right in the city of couples right in the city of St. George and just outside. So, you know, that was one of the draws of this area, as we said, we really would like a spot with a lot of earth caches nearby to kind of highlight the program itself, and this kind of fit in really well.
Very cool. Now, you had mentioned a few of the workshops that you guys are going to be doing. You know, you'd mentioned the HTML, the basic HTML, but can you talk about some of the other workshops that are going to be there that people that are going to this event can expect to find?
Well, the one right off the bat that I actually expect will be the most interesting we'll have a round table with a group of all of the GeoAwares just to ask questions. And we get that a lot. You know, I get bombarded. I bet half of my emails as a GeoAware USA2 are people asking questions. You know, how can I develop something? You know, how can I make this site work? What would be interesting? Because we have a large number of people who are interested in it, but they don't have any kind of background, or they don't understand where to go to get the information or how to develop them. So a question and answer period to just kind of ask whatever questions people may have. And then we have somebody who's done a whole bunch of earth caches. I need to confirm some stuff with him before I announce his name, but he's done, I think he's put out 50 or 70 earth caches or more. Some of them he's adopted out. So he will be talking about what he does to do it, to when he produces an earth cache, his process. Then we have a cacher that's a director of one of our local state parks that wrote some things for a professional magazine, Ranger or National Park magazine. I didn't even know there was one until he mentioned something, but about caching. And he's going to be there to kind of talk about what the process is for working with land managers and working with, you know, your parks, your state parks, your national parks, and why they have some concerns. And that's a thing that some people just don't seem to catch sometimes is, you know, this is a national park. Why can't I put one there without permission? This is our property. And sometimes they don't realize that these land managers are there to protect the park so that 30, 40, 100, 200 years from now, that park is still there for us to enjoy. So they're careful sometimes on where they want to have an earth cache. Sometimes they don't want to draw attention to some places for fear of people tearing it apart. So, you know, he'll kind of highlight some of those things. And then, you know, there's one on the guidelines. It seems like a lot of people don't even realize there are earth cache guidelines sometimes. We see a lot of just virtuals. You know, I don't know how to make an earth cache a virtual, so here's my earth cache. And we see a number of those of, you know, this is my favorite movie set. It's a pretty view. So tell me how many pine trees are on this hillside and you can log it. And, you know, obviously that doesn't really fit into the geology aspect of earth caching.
Right. And I do see that you're going to have some other topics like GSAC and some things like that. I'm assuming how to use GSAC in combination with, you know, placing and finding earth caches.
Actually, the GSAC is just a general overlook of GSAC. There's always some people who think they know everything about GSEC. I thought I knew a lot. And the lady who put on a course recently, and I went up to it. And, you know, here I went up to it thinking I know a ton about GSEC. And I sat down in this course and realized, wow, it's a far more powerful tool than I ever thought of. But then I also see a lot of people who don't even know how to turn it. They're scared of it.
Right.
And so I think an overview of what it can do and some of its abilities would be really welcome for a lot of people. And that's something that people ask for. I asked early on, what would people like to have courses on? And some of them we were able to work in, and some of them we weren't, unfortunately.
Well, it sounds like a lot of great information that I'd love to get my hands on. Unfortunately, won't be able to make it there since it's only a few weeks away. But in any case,
it's a short drive.
Right.
Not from Michigan, no. In any case, I assume that these are only going to be available then to the people who attend. There's not going to be any recordings or anything available online after the fact.
You know, some GeoAware last year tried to make a number. They didn't record it, but a lot of people, he made some of the PowerPoint presentations available. Last year, we actually had a lady who's from the Department of Policy from the Department of Interior.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Something like that. And she was there, and they brought some forest rangers. The chief ranger, I think, of Acadia, or the science director of Acadia National Forest. And, you know, he had his information that was so good about how to produce or who you go to in national parks that was released to a number of people who asked for it. And I think it was available generally, but I know it was made available to some people who asked for it. But, yeah, we haven't made recordings available because we haven't made them, but we've tried to make the knowledge available because obviously it helps grow the program, and it actually helps us as reviewers if people go into it realizing that it's an educational program and not just a virtual, another way to do a virtual.
Right, of course. Now, you said that you're going to have all the GeoAwares. How many of the GeoAwares are there worldwide?
You're asking a hard question that I wish Matt was able to link on with us. He's the GeoAware headquarters person. So there's two professionals from the GSA, the Geological Society of America, and that's who sponsors the program with geocaching. And so you have Gary, who started the whole thing and speaks in his wonderful Australian accent. Mm-hmm. And then there is Matt, who works in the office and does a number of education outreach things. But then we have at least four in the United States, one in Canada. There's probably as many or more in Europe. And, you know, some cover vast areas. Others are smaller. Like, I cover all of the Mountain West, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, the Rocky Mountain areas from Montana on south, and then someone else covers the entire East Coast of the United States, and then there's a couple, at least one in Germany, but I think there's a couple, you know, so they get a lot of submissions. There's a lot of, not as many as a standard reviewer gets.
Right.
Well, I would assume it also takes a lot more to review an Earth cache than it would to review your traditional cache.
Yeah, I think we were talking recently as a group, and it's very, very, if anyone out there has, you know, submitted an Earth cache and they don't hear anything and the publish button is hit and their cache is published, they've done an amazing job, because that almost never happens. They're missing usually a permission aspect, or a lot of people still try to put a photo in requirement in that is no longer allowed on Earth caches. So there's, there's always usually something that we end up asking a few questions on. You know, have they been to the location or not?
Sounds like you're a busy man there.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't see a lot of, I don't see a ton of earth caches. I don't have 100 that I deal with every month happily because there are so many problems. You know, there's a lot of cachers out there that really want to do it and they want to make it work. So some people really have questionable caches and really try to go through a lot of work to make them work. And we'll do everything we can to make somebody's cache, you know, acceptable and printable. We just have to usually step them through the process and help them out. So sometimes I've had some people come back, actually, because a lot of national parks take permission. I had one about 2.5 years after the person started that finally got permission.
Oh, wow.
So the cache page had been done, but being in a national park, we needed permission from the park. So it finally got permission and got published. You know, that was a long, long haul for that person to kind of step through and get it done. And yet, then there's some other people who never seem to get permission, and others. You know, my favorite story is there's a horseshoe bend in northern Arizona on the strip, and there was, at one time, there was 5 earth caches there, and they just all needed permission. They were all on the exact same thing, and some of them were up to 3 years old, and no one could get permission. And then one day, a local lady had written up a wonderful one, and she walked into the office, I guess, walked in or talked to somebody, and they sent an email and said, everything's fine. It's interesting what a face-to-face meeting will do with somebody, I guess, or calling them on the phone as opposed to email.
Well, it sounds like the event that you guys are putting on is going to be a really great one. It sounds like, you know, a lot of these things, the questions we just talked about and the problems that people have and the ideas that they just don't think about when placing an earth cache because they are different from regular caches. It sounds like that your event is actually going to help that and it's going to be an awesome event. Is there anything that we may have missed in the description? Anything that you want to tell us that we may have not asked?
Not offhand. You know, come and enjoy the experience. I mean, for me, I love events. I've always loved events. And being able to sit down across the table with someone and visit. I go to an event that's an hour long and 3 hours later, I'm still sitting there talking to people. And, you know, so for me, I really enjoy that social aspect. And I think that's why I liked this, where everyone's basically spending time together for the day and having that experience and learning something and sharing what's worked and what hasn't worked, just like a small cache event. And except these are all typically people who are earth cachers. So, you know, I liken it to GeoCoinFest. It's just a different addiction in geocaching.
Right. Well, we want to thank you for coming on tonight and taking the time to explain a little bit what's happening at the event. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us tonight.
You bet. It was great to be here.
Well, we want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank Cache-Advance for making this episode financially possible. Join us each Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern at geocachingpodcast.com/live. You can watch us record and chat with other listeners. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, and that number is 630-31-VOICE to leave us a message anytime. Have a safe week, and happy caching.